across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And we will do that after we have spoken to our guest this morning. It is Connie Huck. Hello, Connie.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Connie, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good, I think. Are you?
Yeah, I am. No, really well, thank you. Doing, school runs and all that malarkey.
Yes, all that stuff.
That we're so used to doing all the time.
Yes.
But yes, I managed to get the children to school fine. I managed to get on this call fine. Looking up.
It's a good day so far.
Oh, bless you. So you're busy, busy, busy with the book. Tell us all.
Ah, okay. So the book is all about a nine-year-old. So it's called Cookie and the Most Annoying Boy in the World. It's about a girl, Liz, me and you can relate to this. Chaos follows her around and she sees the absurd in everyday life. And so the whole thing is illustrated with little sort of comic strip pictures showing her flights of fancy and her head thoughts. And, you know, she loves to extrapolate situations to the extreme, thinking of the worst scenario that could happen.
But there's also
loads of stealth learning in there. So she's quite science. She loves long words and
knowledge.
Sort of knowledge. Yes.
Yes, knowledge.
So, you know, like, you all know this, how we, I don't know, put vegetables in a pasta sauce so that the kids don't know they're actually having vegetables in there. It's hiding knowledge sort of in a funny book that will make kids laugh and not realise they're learning stuff
clever.
At the same time.
Very
that's the ethos.
And you've done all the little illustrations, is that right, Con? You doodled?
Yeah, so I like to think that they would be of the standards of Axel Scheffler or Chris Riddell. But obviously I'm drawing through the eyes of a nine-year-old. So, yeah, the stick men are in there, all my doodles. I had really good fun illustrating the whole thing. And actually, it made it a lot easier to write because the illustrations are her sort of crazy head thoughts, which if I was putting in the narrative, it would mean that the sort of text would jump all over the place. So it's kind of just a perfect sort of, you know, organic
way to explain
development. Yeah.
So how long has the book taken you? Has it been a work in progress for a while? Is it an idea you had a long time ago? Is it something you've always wanted to do?
So basically, whenever I sort of had to babysit, I don't know, nephews or little cousins or whatever, I've always sort of told stories to them about this character called Cookie. And then you'll remember this. We did the Blue Peter Book Awards all those years.
Yes.
I loved, you know, so we were often on judging panels and so on and so forth for that. And then I loved, as a kid, reading myself. So now, having had my own kids, and the youngest started school last year, the timing sort of just felt right. I've got between the hours of 9 and 3 to write a bit of my book. And I've literally written the whole book on an iPhone. So, you know, I can just do it as and when.
Is there more?
Literally in the notes section of my phone.
Is there more books to come?
Yes. So this is the first one, which is all to do with education and a lot of science. The second one is all to do with sort of climate change and saving the environment. And the third one is sort of coding and hacking in computers.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So there you go.
And how's the response been? Because you've been going around schools and stuff, have you? When are you coming to Cambridge? Why are you not here?
I haven't gone around schools yet, so the paperback is out early next year, and then I will be coming to Cambridge and going around schools. So this is the hardback, which is more of a sort of industry thing, apparently, and so that's more book festivals and stuff. But definitely, I'm doing. You're not far from Norwich. I think I'm doing Norwich Science.
No, we're not too far from Norwich.
Yeah, so I am coming to your neck of the woods, definitely. And then once the paperback's out early next year, there'll be loads of them pushing sort of schools, and because there's a lot of it is to do with, you know, education and science, like I said. Mm-hmm. So it only seems right that we should take it to the children. And also there's loads of sort of themes of diversity, inclusivity, good sort of social values, all sort of thrown in there. Because if our kids, you know, start off learning all the right things in life, no matter where they go in society, they'll only make it a better place. That's the thinking. Kids are a blank canvas, I always say, and so all of their preconceptions and everything that they think is stuff that us adults and environment and society has put on them. So, you know, they should be prejudice-free, they should be open-minded, they should know that helping each other helps happiness, not helping themselves. And that's all on sort of learning and books and education.
Yeah, reading is really important still. And what sort of books do your kids enjoy? What are they into at the moment? Do they have favourites?
My seven-year-old, he's very much into sort of those Wimpy Kids books, and he loves the Treehouse series. I don't know if you know the 13-story Treehouse series. No. So he sort of likes this sort of comedic, anarchic stuff. Although he did bring home a book on the Georgians from the library the other day. I thought, this is a new one on me, your interest in the Georgians. And then he asked the other day, like, why did Georgians sometimes brick up windows? And I was like, oh, so you are actually like looking at things in there. And that's because of a window tax that they had back then, apparently. But anyway, you know when kids ask these things and you're suddenly like, oh, I have to get on people.
Yeah.
So, and then my younger one, he's sort of doing all the, because he's still very much, he's five, he's doing phonics and Biff, Chip and Kipper and all of those sort of more picture booky type things. But obviously, my older one, he loves my book, best of all.
Of course.
The nepotism there. He just loves it, yeah.
Oh. Well, that's good. I mean, you can try, obviously, you can try ideas out on them. I mean, you've got the perfect audience at home. They can't escape.
Oh, my gosh. So, absolutely. He is my editor at that point. Because there were bits that I was like, I'm going to change it. I'm going to take that out. And he's like, no, I like that bit. Or no, put this in. Or why don't you do this?
Yeah.
So really, he should have a credit in there.
Now, you studied at Cambridge Con. Obviously, you're a clever, clever lady. And was it science that you studied?
So I did science A levels actually, but so I was going to do engineering, and then I got my first job in telly while I was still at school, and then I got the bug, Liz, and suddenly I thought, I'm not doing science anymore at uni. So I actually did economics for my degree subject, which I've never used ever since.
Well,
and then, yeah,
but you were always interested in those STEM subjects.
Yeah, so my area was the physics, chemistry and math. Well, what I think is, so we've got real dearth in the UK of kids going into STEM learning and STEM professions in general, like really lag behind our European counterparts. And a lot of schools don't really do science until you get to secondary.
No, that's true, yeah.
And then it's like this sort of foreign language almost, because you haven't really had any awareness of science before then. And so I think the younger you start sort of introducing something in a stealth fashion, the more open kids are to it. So in the book, there's stuff like the electromagnetic spectrum, and there's like pie charts and Venn diagrams, loads of sort of sciencey ways to represent information and, you know, mathematical ideas. But they're all to do with really funny things. So there's like a graph of Cookie's, the amount of hours Cookie spends with her best friend and correlated with her happiness, for instance. And stuff like the electromagnetic spectrum, you might not understand it 100%, but you'll understand, everything has a wavelength and it's all on this weird chart. And you can see, like, you know, all the stuff that's there, like, you know, the visible spectrum and, you know, radiation and UV rays and all these weird things. As a kid, you might not, you know, you might just see something that sparks your interest. It might not be that you know everything, but every time that you're introduced to that concept, then you sort of learn a little bit more and you get it a bit more. So the earlier on you introduce anything to kids, the more likely it is that they'll grasp it. Whereas if you leave it as late as secondary school, then often it's like a closed door already. You know, as kids, like I said, a blank canvas, you're shaping in your primary years,
absolutely,
early secondary years as well. Then by the time you're in your 20s, you're already formed. So in your 30s, you need therapy to undo the weird things in your head. And then, adults are really beyond help, but kids are the future. And I don't think there's enough put on that. You know, it should be reading and writing and maths and then sort of altruism and, like, giving back the stuff that kids should learn. And then that way they'll use all of it together and make the world a better place.
Aww.
That's why they're so good with climate campaigning and so on. Because, and you'll know this, Liz, often on those Blue Peter years, the amount of times you meet someone and they're like, oh, how did you get interested in this weird hobby or whatever it is they do? And it's something that they saw when they were young and it just strikes a chord with them. And if something gets to you when you're young, you take that with you through the rest of your life. you know. So it's really important to get kids enthused about stuff when they're in those formative years.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone can do it, Connie, you can.
I was going to say, if a kid can't get enthused with you standing in front of them, then there's no hope for them at all.
I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, you've literally opened your brain and spilled it onto the pages, and I love that.
I hope the kids do.
I bet they do. So listen, we won't take up too much of your time because I know you are super busy, but it's been really nice chatting to you. And
I always love chatting to you.
I know, and I'm sorry. Ooh. I missed the book launch. I was away, but
you were on holiday. Did you have a nice holiday?
Yeah, was brilliant. But good, I feel good, like good. It's very exciting to be a published author. How does it feel to see your book in shops? Because I get excited when I see your book in shops. I'm like, I know that girl.
It's a bit surreal, really. It's like, I almost don't think it's like when I'm on telly, it's like, that's not me.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd just stand there going, buy this.
Oh, good.
Look at this great book.
I'll definitely come to Cambridge.
Yes,
on
you
the old schools tour.
You must.
And then, I can see how your four are as well.
Gosh, growing, I tell you. Yes! It would be brilliant to see you. Yeah, it does fly by. But really, I hope the book is brilliant and I can't wait for the next one as well. And it's been lovely talking to you and we'll see you soon.
Oh, likewise. Yeah, Cookie and the Most Annoying Boy in the World. And like, it's a no-brainer because as well as entertaining, it will educate them as well at the same time.
And it's good
to
have
two for the price of one.
Yeah, a female protagonist in there. I like that. But also, who is the most annoying boy in the world based on?
So basically, if you read the book, spoiler alert, he isn't the most annoying boy in the world, she realises, because annoying is subjective, obviously, and everything is in the eye of the beholder. So everyone is based on an amalgamation, I'd say. The characters are all based on sort of amalgamations of real people I know. There's a bit of you in there, Liz.
Is there?
Cookie. But not in the annoying boy, no. That's Matt and Simon. Me and Liz co-created and Spoopy for 6 years with Matt and Simon.
Yeah.
So they were like our annoying little brothers, weren't they?
Yes. Totally stupid.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right about the strong female character. It's really important that books for boys and girls don't have to, sort of bend to boys and girls. So basically, girls will read books about boys and girls will read books about girls, but boys tend to only read books about boys. So I've tried to write a book that will appeal to boys about a girl. So fingers crossed.
That's interesting.
That is the case.
That is interesting. And did you get any advice from anyone like David Walliams or any of these other people that you might know that have written books, or did you just stick with what, you were doing?
I mean, one thing that David Williams did say is it's a very slow process, and you working in telly will appreciate that everything in TV is very urgent. It's always like, deadlines and wraps and delivering. Whereas people in books are much more laid back. They're like, oh, you can have longer if you want. It's a much slower process. And, for books to do well, you have to have word of mouth. You have to read it and recommend it and so on and so forth. It's a different world, really, than this sort of immediate nature of TV. But book people are so nice. They're all really nice people because they're people that are sort of very caring. They're very, because books breed empathy in people more than any other sort of medium. And empathy is so important. As we know, in these times of political turmoil, that if people have empathy, the more of it they have, the better society will be, because they're not just sort of greedy and selfish and they'll be thinking of others. And I have to say, book people are just so lovely and like-minded and sort of very supportive. You'll get a book agent tweeting about another book agent's book or an author tweeting about another author's book, whereas you would never get ITV sitting, giving a message of support for a BBC programme. Do you know what I mean? That sort of competitive thing that you get in telly as much. But the whole experience has been really fun. So far, I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Good. That is great, Connie. All right, my lovely. Right, we'll see you soon, yeah?
Yes, and lovely to talk, and lots of love to the gang, and I will catch you soon.
You're brilliant, as always, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye, Connie.
Bye,
cheers.
Bye.